Let me set up the scene for you. Jesus is back in Jerusalem in John chapter 5, as we are in week number 3 of this sermon series that is called Signs and Miracles. Jesus is back in Jerusalem, and he's doing some things that are a little bit out of the ordinary for him. He's going to be going to a certain location where there are a lot of people that are invalid, maybe sick, maybe they're paralyzed, maybe they're just enduring a lot. And Jesus is going to be going into this location where there's a pool of water. John's gospel tells this story, and once again, just a couple of reminders for you that John's gospel doesn't go into chronological order. He doesn't necessarily tell Jesus' story in a sequential manner. But what he does do is he tells a story, and he tells a story through themes, and one of those is signs and miracles. He does it in another way when he's talking about Jesus' I am statements, and that's another sermon series. But this particular one, Jesus comes and he has an interaction with someone very unique. So with that setting of the picture, I want to have the passage of Scripture read for you, and so let's listen to that passage of Scripture.
Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here's a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, one who had been there for an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid responded, "I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am still trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day in which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath. The law forbids for you to carry your mat." But he replied and he said, "The man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk." So they asked him, "Who is this man who told you to pick up your mat and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped through the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. Interesting story as we think about that today. And, you know, today I'm in Arizona for some meetings, and we just so happened to be on a hike today. And as we were there, we discovered that there were 7 pools. 7 pools. And in this area, and probably in this culture, the early years of culture, this was considered to be 7 sacred pools. I'm going to turn my camera around so that you can see it, and maybe you can see all 7 of them.
Okay. So here are the pools. One there. Down this way. Something that's fascinating about these pools is that when the rains come and they flood, they will flood from one down to the next one and all the way down, and then they will come down into this basin down here where there's the final pool. Now, I'm certain that these are not like the pools that is in Jerusalem. But I do think they are fascinating when you think about the big picture of what Jesus was doing. Jesus comes to this place and he goes to the pool and he makes a man well.
And he has this interaction with a person that is in need of being healed. And I just find it amazing that Jesus, in all of his goodness, would go into this place in Jerusalem, go to this pool, and he would work a miracle. Remember that we are talking about the seven signs of Jesus, the seven different miracles. And when I heard about these pools, I just had to come and see them, especially because they're just so interesting. They're so natural.
I really appreciated the opportunity to be out in Phoenix, Arizona for some district meetings for our denomination. Once a year, we all gather together, all the pastors, and we have a time of retreat, but we also have a time of being fed and filled and have a time of worship and communion. And it was really enjoyable to be there with my son Lucas and just enjoy the sunshine. Kind of similar to a sunshiny day like today. Jesus, as he's entering into that location and entering into this conversation with this man, I want to make a few observations about this. First of all, Jesus, as I said earlier, he's in Jerusalem. He's at a pool, and where there are people that have these disabilities. They have some physical bodily issues that are going on, and they are waiting for the waters to be stirred, because tradition was that once the waters were stirred, then there was a healing that was going on, or healing that could happen if anybody got into the water first. That's an amazing and an astounding situation that's going on there. And that is what is driving this paralyzed man. Second, John's gospel is not chronological, as I already talked about. It tells a different perspective. Third, there's a lot of people around. In the first couple of verses in chapter 5, it says that Jesus often found himself in crowds. Yet in this crowd of people, we only see one person that was healed. Is that significant? I think we're going to find out. I think we will see whether or not that was significant. Fourth observation is this, did you notice that there is no verse 4? Maybe if you flew right by it, you didn't really pay attention, or maybe on the screen you didn't see, or you didn't catch it as I was reading it, but there is no verse 4. I didn't leave that out on purpose. That's not what this was. Maybe your Bible, or maybe your Bible app has a little notation by it, and it's this. It's a manuscript issue. When the people who put the Bible together, what they do is they will take the earliest manuscripts, look at those, review them, and then they will translate them and put them into order and create the Bible based on those earliest manuscripts using the Hebrew, the Greek, and then even Aramaic. And they utilize that in order to create the biblical manuscript. And this verse 4 was not found in the earliest manuscripts. So they make note of it so that you're aware. It's not that it's any issue other than it's just a manuscript issue. So moving right along, getting to the crux of the matter, what we're really talking about today. Let's notice a couple of things. First of all, let's notice that something about Jesus's knowledge. Jesus is the full embodiment of God. And verse 6 tells us this. He says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Interestingly, our translation, specifically the NIV translation that I'm using today, doesn't necessarily use the Greek translation of these verbs. And so we need to understand that Jesus knew his condition. The NIV will say learned of his condition. But the reality is that Jesus knew. Jesus knew that this man had been unwell for 38 years and been in this situation for that amount of time and not experiencing any sort of relief. That's a really long, long time. Wow. But hold this in your hand for just a moment and realize that Jesus knew of his situation and he knows your situation as well. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows that paralyzed man better than he knows himself. He knows you like the back of your hand. And this is reminiscent for us of Psalm 139 that reminds us that when the psalmist is speaking about God, he says, "You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." Jesus' knowledge, not of just that man, but of you and me and all humanity, is complete. It's perfect. It can be trusted. And he knows you. He knows you. And he can be trusted. And I think that's something that we need to help to understand today, is that Jesus knows you. And that should bring us great comfort. That should bring us great relief in knowing that there is a Savior that knows us. The next thing that I want to draw your attention to is Jesus's compassion. As we've already experienced in this series, is that that Jesus is extremely compassionate. When we looked at the first sign in Cana of Galilee, Jesus works in a couple's life, a family's life, basically, that were experiencing the loss of all their wine, and it would be embarrassing and it would be a scandal almost if they didn't have enough wine for their celebration. And so Jesus, in his compassion, reaches out. Last week, we looked at the man that was dealing with the son that needed to be healed. And Jesus has compassion on him. Jesus' compassion is not a moving away from people, but it's moving Jesus. Jesus is moving towards them. He is not ignoring them. He is moving towards them. He's moved by their situations. Verse 6 says, "Do you want to get well?" Could we say that Jesus is willing? He is moving with compassion? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's exactly what Jesus is doing. And even after hearing the man's situation, Jesus doesn't bat an eye. He doesn't get concerned about the length of time that this person is dealing with this this paralyzed situation. But he says to him, "Get up. Get up. Pick up your mat and walk." There are about 9 times throughout the Gospels where it says that Jesus is moved by compassion, where he is moved by the ordeals that people are dealing with. He knows, but he also feels. He feels the situations that the people in the Gospels were dealing with. And in reality, he feels our situations as well. Because he's not distant. He's not a distant, far off, far reaching, can't get to type of God. He is a God. He is our Savior that loves us. He's our Savior that knows us, that cares for us, that desires for us to be well, to be whole. And he's sympathetic. He's caring. He's compassionate. And he shows it to us through his works. And in this situation, let's notice what's missing in this situation. Up to verse 9, there's no mention of this person and his behavior, his attitude, his life, or anything like that. Nothing about his righteousness, nothing about his faith, nothing about anything when it comes to what this guy believes or doesn't believe. And maybe you remember in other passages throughout the Gospels where Jesus is moved by a person's faith. Remember the lady who had been suffering for 12 long years with the flow of blood, and she is reaching out, and in her mind she's, if I only touch the hem of his garment. And Jesus tells her that it is your faith that has made you well. In this situation, in this healing of this paralyzed man, Jesus doesn't say your faith has made you well. He doesn't say any of that. He just heals. Now, I think we're going to get to something later on and maybe get to the reasoning behind it. But I think we have to remember that sometimes Jesus's compassion just provides healing. The next characteristic that I want to talk about is Jesus's power. I know that sounds pretty obvious, and especially since that was talked about last week. But I think it's important to once again talk about the power of Jesus. You and I, we like power, don't we? It's not just a Tim the Tool Man type of thing from the old TV show Tool Time or Home Improvement. It's not about that. But we appreciate power when it works. Like we really like it when a remote works so that we can push the button and we change the channel. And growing up, I was the remote for us until we got one. Had to go and push the button or turn the dial. And if we lost our remote eventually, I was the one that had to push the button or change it or whatever it might be. But we really like it when things work. We like it when the remote works. We like it when we can turn things off and on and change the channels. And we feel good when the power really is working. Think about it for just a second in verse 8 and 9. Jesus says to the man, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once, verse 9, at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. And the day on which this all took place was a Sabbath. Notice the words at once. At once. The words of Jesus, get up, take your mat, and walk. At once, at the words of Jesus, whatever was not working, whatever the situation was going on in his body, in this man, this paralyzed man, immediately they began to work. The muscles tensed up and began to work. The ligaments straightened, the bones strengthened and worked as exactly as they were supposed to, exactly as they were designed to work by our Creator. And the man stood up. If it was an ankle issue, his ankles tightened up. If it was a back issue, his back was healed. Whatever the situation was, immediately this man was healed. He didn't stumble. He stood up. He didn't struggle. He was healed. He stood up and he walked. Have you ever wondered what that felt like? Have you ever wondered if he felt this surge of strength going through his body? Or did he feel anything at all? Oh. I know I've shared the story with many of you couple of years ago. It was about 5 years ago now. But we were at a youth conference, and I'd been dealing with a lot of issues with my shoulder. My right shoulder had been jarred earlier by a few different things that happened to my body as I was doing different things over the course of the previous years. And I was just dealing with a lot of shoulder pain. And we're in the middle of this huge conference, couple thousand teenagers and adults that were at this conference, and we're in the midst of praying for the call of God on these teenagers and these kids. And out of nowhere, in the middle of this prayer, the guy who was leading the prayer, he was our director of youth ministry for the Wesleyan Church, and he begins to pray, and he specifically prays for a person that is dealing with shoulder pain. And it was at that moment that I kind of did this. Did he just say shoulder pain? That's interesting. And I just kept on praying and praying. And all of a sudden, as he's praying specifically for this person with shoulder pain, I felt this surge of energy, whatever it might have been. I just felt this feeling go up through my toes and kind of rest on my upper body. And I'm beginning to get kind of tearful and wondering what's going on. And we come to the end of the prayer time, and I kind of did one of these things and looked at Andrea, and she's like, "Did he pray for your shoulder?" And I kind of looked at her and I said, "I think he did. And I'm not feeling any pain right now." And I began to move my shoulder a little bit more, and no pain, none whatsoever. That moment is a day that I will never forget. But can you imagine, and can you see the power of Jesus? That at the voice of Jesus, the body of the paralyzed man took note and obeyed immediately. Not when the body felt like it, not when any other situations was going on, not when it was convenient, but at once. I think the lesson for us is that we don't dismiss the power and the authority of Jesus. And we don't miss the all-surpassing knowledge and heart-moving compassion of Jesus. He is not only compassionate, and he's not only all-powerful, and he's not only just all-knowledgeable, but he is Lord and Messiah. And this miracle is pointing in that direction. Look again with me at verse 10 and following, and here's where it picks up. "And so the Jewish leader said to the man who has been healed, 'It's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat.' But he replied, 'The man who healed me, made me well, said to me, pick up your mat and walk.' So they asked him, 'Who is this fellow? Who told you that you should pick up your mat and walk?' And the man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, 'See, you are well, so stop sinning, or something else, something worse may happen to you.' The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who made him well." I want to talk about situation first before I kind of wrap up with the big important thing to walk away with. The most important thing in this is, and I want to wrap this up with something, but I want to talk about something specific. Jesus eventually gets into a conversation with these leaders, and they begin to wonder, "Why are you doing a healing on the Sabbath?" And Jesus tells them, "My Father is working on the Sabbath, and so therefore I'm going to be working on the Sabbath." what I find amazing about this is that Jesus doesn't allow the norms to dictate how he's going to act. He doesn't allow the things that you and I might get concerned about dictate how he's going to work, how his compassion, how his knowledge, how his working power and authority is going to take place. These guys were distracted by the Sabbath. Jesus doesn't do that. I find that amazing. This man encountered these people. Jesus is nowhere to be found. He'd slipped away into the crowd. And I think there's a reason for it. Can you imagine if we were in a huge crowd, say like at a concert or at the state fair or something along those lines, and there's just a massive crowd of people, and in the midst of the crowd, a person is healed. Amazing, purely amazing, wonderful. Would never discount that. But can you imagine Jesus is in the midst of a location where not only is there a crowd, but there's a crowd of people that have similar ailments or disabilities or situations that have been paralyzed or whatever it might be. And Jesus is completely surrounded by people. But Jesus does this one miracle in the midst of many others. Of other people that are in similar situations, he performs this one miracle and escapes through the crowd. But the story's not over. Jesus comes back and he interacts with the paralyzed man. Verse 14, Jesus finds him in the temple and tells him to cut out the sinning. Tells him to stop sinning. You've been made well. But cut out the sinning, or something worse might happen to you. It's interesting, isn't it? We don't have an interaction that I can think of throughout Scripture where this is the response of Jesus. Stop sinning. He does say that to the woman who's caught in adultery. He says, go and sin no more. But this time he says to this man, or something worse may happen to you. So what's the issue? Why does Jesus interact this person? The point of all of this is that this person was healed for a purpose. Healed for a purpose. And we have to look at this with one or two, or we have to look at it in such a way. If we look at it with our eyes and we look at it as a physical healing, well, he was healed for the purpose of being able to go about his life, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm not sure that's the point. To go about life and to be healed and be unparalyzed and to have the full working of your faculties and your body is a good thing. But what does that have to do with stop sinning? So we need to look at this with our spiritual eyes and realize that holiness is the issue. Jesus is telling this person, stop the sinning. You've been made well, so stop sinning so that something worse doesn't happen to you. And it's not about that he will be paralyzed once again. It's not that he would be endure some other type of sickness, but it's really about you don't want to miss out on what Jesus is doing in his life. You've been made well. You've been made well for holiness purposes, so stop sinning. I'm still wrapping my head around this. still wrapping my head around this because this is a big deal. Holiness was the issue. This wasn't a physical necessarily issue. This wasn't about a man being healed from his paralysis. It is something much deeper than that. It is bigger than just a physical healing. This healing was done for holiness' sake. Almost as if Jesus is saying, see, you're well again. Stop. You're sinning. You were healed for holiness purposes. You were healed so that I could make you holy. So stay away from those sins and those temptations and those things that are going to distract you from me. So stop the sinning. Your spiritual life matters. Make it count. Get in the game. Stay focused. Don't give in. Stand strong. Jesus puts the emphasis on holiness. Stop that. And when he says, or something worse may happen, commentaries and theologians they're not thinking about whether a person is going to get sick or have another accident or something along those lines. What they're really saying is judgment. Judgment. Missing out on what God has planned for a person's salvation and the promise of heaven. Jesus puts all the emphasis on holiness. And in this situation, Jesus is pushing the person in a direction of pursuit of him. He was healed for a purpose. He was healed for a reason. And you and I, we may not endure a situation such as this guy experienced. We may have things that we would love to experience Jesus' healing in our lives. And sometimes those situations won't be healed until we are on that side of eternity where there is complete healing. Sometimes that is the healing that we will receive. Sometimes we don't experience it here in this life. But the truth of the matter is that we have the opportunity, we have the responsibility to sin no more and pursue him. That's my hope. That's my hope for us, is that we wouldn't get lost in the action of the sign and the miracle, but what the miracle allows us to do and to pursue him. Let's pray together. Father, we desperately, desperately thank you for words of scripture that speak to us so much today, that speak and remind us of your grace and your mercy and show us that you are the true hope, that you are the hope of the world, that you are the hope of our salvation. And we are so grateful, God, that you provide work in us that draws us to you and that we can pursue you with all our faith, with all our being, and seek after your grace and your mercy. So, God, will you do a work in us that is powerful? Will you remind us that you are that your Son is, Jesus is compassionate, that he is knowing, that he is powerful, and that he knows us better than we know ourselves, that you, God, know us better than we know ourselves. You know our needs, our desires. And so, God, will you work in us? I pray specifically for people that would love to experience a healing today. Lord, will you work in their lives? We pray for that. But we also know, God, that your will is what we submit to. And we thank you for that. We can trust in you. You are trustworthy. You are faithful. And we know you are good. We love you and we thank you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us today and being a part of Living Hope Wesleyan Church. We're glad that you're here. Let's close out our time together with singing. So please, let's stand together and sing and worship.